The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Tuesday, July the 2nd, 2024. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim Wildman here with Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
And good morning, Chris Woodward.
Hello.
We're here in Tupelo, MS, and in Kansas City, KS, is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Brother Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. Yourself?
Hey, we got a sauna. We got a citywide sauna going on here in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, I stepped outside and the sun is shining and I was drenched wet like in about 30 seconds.
Oh, so it's thick humidity then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we do need to save a couple people some emails. We are aware that we have some technical difficulties going on.
Oh, our video stream.
So we're working on that. So, you know what?
Well,
yeah. Brent Creed, really? Our producer.
Ray, our folks does not see Ray, so that's only for us.
Oh, man.
Okay. However, well, you are somewhat correct.
Okay. We still have technical difficulties.
YouTube has banned us for at least a week.
Okay.
So there's that.
What did we do now to get banned by YouTube again?
Community standards violation.
I go out of town for a day, leave it in Ed's hands, and he probably said ivermectin or something and got us banned on YouTube. His job. Went over this with him yesterday, 2 days ago, before I left.
You gave him the rules.
Said, Ed, please, just avoid recommending ivermectin.
Recommending it?
Yeah, he recommends it. He thinks he's a doctor.
So, Dr.
No,
Ed.
No, I'm just kidding. We don't know. YouTube has banned us for, did Brent say how long? How long did you say, Brent?
For at least a week.
We don't know why. They don't tell you why.
Community violations.
YouTube's so brave that they won't even tell you why.
That's right.
What did they tell you we did?
Community standards violation, whatever that is.
You keep asking because you're wanting a good answer, but that's you're not going to get one.
Well, we've given up on YouTube. We don't count on them anyway, but we went on there because it doesn't hurt, you know. So YouTube has banned us we're in timeout. They sent us over to the timeout corner.
But it can't be too bad, Tim. It's only for a week. It's not like
that's right.
Let me tell you what it is. They're liberal.
Okay. Yeah.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
And, are they owned by Google or who owns them?
Google.
Okay, they're liberal all day, every day. They don't like something we said on this show, probably about politics.
I do think that
we got COVID or whatever. Go ahead, whatever.
I do agree from our show prep meeting this morning, Brent's suggestion of what he possibly could have happened, and I do think that Ed's phrase that President Joe Biden, this was had to have been Thursday. Wednesday or Thursday, said that Biden was going to take his cocktail before the debate. I think that's what.
So you just got us 2 more weeks.
I'll stop.
You repeated what Ed did to get us 2 weeks. Now you got us a ban for a month. All right.
Back to coffee.
I don't care. You know, whatever. We don't depend on YouTube like we used to. So you can go to, there are 3 ways to get our video streaming of this show. First and foremost is our own streaming service, stream.afa.net, stream.afa.net. You can watch this show and other shows on AFR. And then also we have a live video stream at Facebook,
Just type in today's issues. To Facebook's credit, they've never banned us for any reason that I can remember. Can you remember, Brent? I don't remember.
No, I don't believe so.
I don't know if their interns not doing their job over there and listening to this show so they can do something, right. But they haven't banned us ever. Facebook hasn't. You just type in today's issues and then well, I guess X, formerly known as Twitter. Mm-hmm. We live video stream there too. Well, so anyway, I don't know who knows what we did with you. Doesn't take their little they get their feelings hurt over there at YouTube. Pretty they're pretty tender. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. They got feelings.
Snowflakes. What we call them. All right, so I don't know what we did, but Ed probably did it. So, but he
And not, if
he,
nothing else, he's not here to defend himself.
He's not here to defend himself.
Right. So he's taking fault.
Yeah.
In our show prep meeting this morning, we joked about going an extra 30 minutes in today's issue just because we have so much information and content to get to. Obviously, we can't do that, so we better hop into introducing –
Chris, what's the first story, Chris?
Well, we need to pray for our neighbors down in the Caribbean, and I say that because Hurricane Beryl roared through open waters this morning as a monstrous Category 5 storm on a path that would take it near Jamaica and the Cayman Islands after earlier making landfall in the southeast Caribbean, killing at least 4 people. They'll find a lot more after they go through the wreckage. These are normal things when hurricanes happen. But a warning was in effect today for Jamaica and a hurricane watch for Grand Cayman, Little Cayman, Cayman Brac, and for Haiti's entire southeast or southern coast, I should say. It's going to start losing intensity, but it may actually strengthen again at some point in the coming days. So definitely one to watch there and pray about as we discuss this.
What do
program.
You pray about?
Well, I pray that people would not have damage. I pray for those that have damage to get the help they need to be able to rebuild and help others in these kinds of situations. Hurricanes are nothing new to that part of the world. It's kind of a part of life. But, you know, a lot of churches support missionaries there. A lot of people do spend time there vacationing.
Ray, are you supposed to pray about the weather?
Oh, I think we should. I think we – and especially, as Chris said, we're justified certainly in praying – that God in his kindness would move that hurricane away from land. If it's over water, it's going to be huge, but it's not going to do a lot of damage. But, you know, to Jamaica and to those islands down there, pretty devastating. So, yeah, I certainly have prayed about the weather because it's a real concern. And, yeah. Tim, I read about this Hurricane Beryl, which, you know, there have been so much politics stuff. We haven't even really had time to think about this hurricane, but it is the quickest Category 5 hurricane in July, earliest in July in the history of mm-hmm. measuring out there in the Atlantic Ocean. And the mm-hmm. other thing is, it is, how powerful is it? I read just a few minutes ago, you know, on the tornado scale, EF5 is the highest.
Yeah.
And they said, imagine an EF5 tornado the size of Washington, D.C., oh. which is
wow.
unbelievably right. enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so this is something to keep an eye on, and I was thinking about, you know, those Caribbean islands, they're almost universally poor. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, the last thing Haiti needs is a hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and the so, you know, those folks, and they live with this every year, right?
Yes.
There's potential for a hurricane, a major hurricane come in and do great damage to their islands, so... yeah, we do pray for the people of the Caribbean, and we'll keep an eye on that. But it may decimate, it may downgrade, but a Category 5, even if it downgrades to a Category 4, that's still a big, major hurricane. You know, but this is tracking towards Mexico, isn't it?
Yes. Not
the U.S.
Correct.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. As of right now.
Of course, we don't hope for that either. Mm-hmm. You know, who wants to? We don't wish that on Mexico either.
Right.
But there are parts of Mexico there that are not inhabited by very many people along the coast. If you get, get around the Yucatan, get into that area. Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be two different issues. Last week or a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Sahara Desert dust
sandstorm.
Sandstorm. That's two different.
Ray, you were reading about this. Ray, tell us about this.
Okay, there's an amazing video out from the weather folks showing this is where the sandstorm and the hurricane kind of intersect. there's, Tim, this amazing video that shows Hurricane Beryl there in the Caribbean, and to its west, there's a huge Saharan dust storm in the atmosphere, and then behind it to the east. So you've got sandstorm or dust storm in the atmosphere, then you've got the hurricane, and you've got this vast collection of Saharan dust off to the east. So we are living in strange times from a meteorological point of view.
When is that sandstorm / dust storm supposed to hit?
It will, whatever it's going to do to Texas and to Louisiana, it's going to hit before the hurricane does, because it's the big part of it is ahead of where the hurricane is. Mm-hmm. So in the next 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, will this mean like there'll be visible, I guess there would be dust on cars and things of that nature?
Sure. Okay. Sure. And around sunrise, and you're going to see some amazingly beautiful sunrises and sunsets because the dust is going to create that. Yes. But yeah, there's going to be dust scattered around. It's going to be difficult, perhaps, for people with respiratory illnesses.
Right. Yeah. I'll post a link on our Facebook page, since we're not banned there yet. But it'll give you an idea of where this is going to be hitting or impacting parts of the U.S. Definitely southern Florida, on into the Texas Gulf Coast area. So pretty much Fort Myers, Miami, you're going to get a lot of sand. Brownsville, Texas, Corpus Christi, same thing.
So it's going to go out into the Gulf, and okay. So we're going to put the story Ray's talking about, Brent. Can we post that at our Today's Issues Facebook page, where, with the video he's talking about? Today's Issues. So the video is what, Ray? It's a video of what?
Oh, I'll send it to you. But it shows very clearly the big Saharan dust cloud, then the Hurricane Beryl, and then behind it another one. So you've got dust cloud, hurricane dust cloud. Remarkable video.
Interesting. All right, next story.
I got a friend listening on the Texas Gulf Coast said it's here.
Maybe the front end of it, or the front end. Yeah. Could be a front end.
Fox Weather has more coming on 7/6, it says. Or what? Through 7/6, so July.
Okay, 6th. So it's going to be a gradual thing over the next couple of days.
Not talking about the hurricane, talking about the...
Correct. The dust storm.
The dust storm. So anyway. All right, you're listening to today's... You going to say anything else about meteorologist, Chris?
No, not yet.
Okay. Are you a meteorologist wannabe?
No.
No?
I did a long time ago when I thought about entering broadcasting. I did want to be a weather personality in San Diego, because that has got to be the best job in the country. You're never wrong. Weather is always great. They probably don't even spend a lot of time on weather. I mean, you get paid well to do like 5 minutes. It's awesome outside. Back to you.
Yeah.
There you go.
San Diego.
A weatherman.
Yeah. Nobody hates you.
You aspire to be a weatherman in San Diego. Okay.
The inspiration went for how long, and then you switched?
Not very long.
Next story, Chris.
All right. As we discussed on this program yesterday, for anybody that missed it, you can check out our podcast on AFR.net. The Supreme Court yesterday ruled for the first time that former presidents have broad immunity from prosecution, extending the delay in the Washington criminal case against former President Donald Trump on charges he allegedly plotted to overturn his 2020 presidential election loss, and all but ending prospects the former president could be tried before the November election. It was a 6-3 ruling. They kicked some things down to lower courts to try to hash out. And then last night, President Joe Biden went on television to share his thoughts on this. And Joe Biden is not very happy. He says this type of ruling is going to create lawless presidents who are going to be doing all kinds of things. Clip one.
This nation was founded on the principle that there are no kings in America. Each of us is equal before the law. No one is above the law, not even the President of the United States.
Now, he said no one is above the law, not even the President of the United States. And this current President of the United States has made headlines several times for about a year, year and a half now, saying things like, the Supreme Court can't tell me what to do about student loan relief. I have one example of that, clip two.
Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us, and the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us.
So you got a tale of two Bidens there.
Pardon me? Yeah. What he's talking about, the Supreme Court, did y'all talk about this yesterday?
At length. We brought in Jenna to give a legal analysis. Okay,
so we'll be talking about this some with Abe.
That's right, at 10:30.
At 10:30, Abraham Hamilton III. But we're talking about the Supreme Court's ruling yesterday about presidential immunity, which basically they voted 6-3 that there is such thing as presidential immunity. But that's about the extent of what I know that they ruled on. So how this applies to former President Trump's cases, I don't know exactly. Maybe Abe will know. Ray, and then Westy. I don't know what to say much because I don't know a lot about what this entails or means. Do you?
Well, I can say this much, and it's a small thing, Tim. President Trump wanted the Supreme Court to grant him absolute immunity for everything he said and did, anything he did during the 4 years he served as president. And the Supreme Court said, no, we aren't going to do that. But they did say that when he was acting as the president in his official capacity, and that's a broad category, he has absolute immunity. And it also said that when he acts in his private capacity, if he is president, but he acts as a private person, he could be sued for that. He could be.
Who decides that, though?
See, that's the question, Tim. That is the question right there. Where do you draw the line between the official duties of the president and when he is acting simply as a private citizen who happens to be president? I mean, that's a quagmire that the courts are now going to have to try to sort out.
Don't look at me.
Yeah, I am looking at you.
I was going to come.
You're an expert on Supreme Court.
No, I'm an expert on making sure that we have Abe on for that.
Yeah, well, you got him scheduled. Should we just go ahead and talk out of ignorance?
No, we probably need to wait. I was going to comment specifically.
It's not going to stop you, is it? Go ahead. Comment.
I was going to comment specifically on the audio. The two different
audio. On Biden, you mean?
On Biden. Yeah, what that was is a contradiction to, is an ongoing contradiction for him.
I choose to be lawless when I want to.
Yeah, and, you know, and that goes back to that reminds me of a portion in the debate when Biden thought it would be cute to point out that former President Trump was a convicted felon when he pointed out, well, your son's a convicted felon. Like, my point is there's a ongoing back and forth here, and he certainly didn't help himself in this 4-minute interview. He could have.
So to remind everybody what we're talking about here is Biden says that yesterday that a president is not a king, which everybody can agree with. Mm-hmm. But then, but the same token, he's bragging. We got a clip there of him bragging how he beat the Supreme Court. He tells the Supreme Court, I'm going to ignore what you say and do what I want to. Well, that's the very definition of a king.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're talking about, with respect to student loan debt, what Biden did unilaterally with the executive order is say, okay, all the student loan debt out there, I don't know about all, but much of it across America, we're going to take that from the individual and give it to the taxpayer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They call that forgiveness. They call this forgiveness, which is a misnomer at best. It's if you say student loan forgiveness, everybody goes, oh, that's so compassionate. Well, yeah, it sounds so compassionate, except what Biden did was not student loan forgiveness. He took trillions of dollars, I think it's trillions of dollars of debt, and said, here, I'll take it from the individuals across America, and we're going to give it to the American taxpayer. Let them pay it off.
And because if you word it like that, or you define it.
That's what it is. I've described is the actual how it is.
Exactly. And if you define it actually how it is, like you did, if he were to do that, it would not be as effective.
Right. I don't know why we don't take home loans.
Exactly. Just put them in there,
right?
Too.
That's right. That's well, right.
I would appreciate
cancel
it.
Cancel the mortgages, Mr.
Just
President.
Say that we're going to take the people who owe on their homes.
You actually made
that debt that's dragging them down.
No, yeah. KJP said they're literally being crushed.
By house notes.
Yeah.
And right. we're going to forgive house notes.
House notes forgiveness.
Yeah, house note forgiveness.
And then go to car loans, okay?
Then go to car loans. We give car loan forgiveness.
That's right.
For everybody. And that's the way.
And just clear off all the credit cards.
Yeah.
We all owe too much money on credit cards anyway.
Yeah. A president doesn't have the authority, even though Biden did it and he claims he's not a king, it doesn't have the authority to, if anything, that would be a legislative act that would be needed. But a president does not have the authority to unilaterally decide that the United States federal government doesn't owe the money, isn't owed the money that the students who borrowed the money agreed to under contract to pay back.
Right.
You just can't do that. But he did it anyway, and then
he
claimed
it.
You know, anyway. Well,
the four-minute interview yesterday, or not one an interview, the four-minute announcement from President Biden in response to what has happened with the Supreme Court, he could have just done with it. He'd be better at this point just to do a written script from and announce it, because when he goes on video, it has not been going well.
No. By the way, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Our video is going really well on except for YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube.
I do want to point out that his event last night was supposed to be, it was labeled a press conference, but he quickly walks away after he's done making his remarks. I don't have the audio, but the reporters are shouting questions at him.
There is no, you were here yesterday, Chris, to talk about what happened last Thursday night.
Yes.
Which seems like a long time ago now, but last Thursday night, the debate in Atlanta, the CNN between Biden and Trump. And Biden just was a complete and utter disaster, and that's universally recognized. And I think they will keep him cooped up, so to speak.
Well, you would think, but that would have been the first start.
Yeah, well, they'll let him read teleprompters. I mean, I think he can do that, but they won't. I doubt that they'll let him debate. Anymore.
He had that rally on Friday in North Carolina and seemingly kind of righted the ship amongst concerned Democrats.
You know, I heard somebody talk about this yesterday, Ray, like your comments on this, with how Biden acted last Thursday night. My observation is my dad had dementia, and he first was diagnosed like 7 or 8 years ago. He passed away in December. What Biden is exhibiting is exactly how my dad acted when he first got dementia, or what the doctor said he has dementia. Exactly. I'm talking about on camera and other ways. Got the blank stare a lot, struggles sometimes getting words out, and his thoughts, you can tell he's got the right, he's thinking through what it will come out of his mouth. And people listening to me right now who've had family members with dementia know exactly what I'm talking about, and we've all seen it. And so got that blank stare, and they got what they call sundowners, you know, which is, I'm shocked they let Biden do a debate this late at night. It was 9 o'clock Eastern time when he did the debate. Now, would it have helped him doing it at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. But a lot of people who have dementia, they do better like between the hours of 10 and four.
Yeah.
Okay.
There
something like yeah. that. But I can just tell you, he has dementia. People are saying, well, shazam to him, you think? But, I mean, I can just tell you, I think if he's going to be diagnosed with that pretty soon, because he has exactly the traits that my dad did when he was first.
If that is true,
first,
how can the Democrats possibly nominate him?
I can't remember a place of being stuck in a worse place for a political party, which I don't care because I hope they lose. I hope they get wiped out across the board.
I've told you in the past I've wanted to do a segment of things that we have common ground with the liberals, and we agree with CNN. It was a disaster for Biden.
Yes, we're in unity.
Yeah, we're in unity on this one issue right
this
here.
One issue. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they know they're the Democratic Party is in full panic mode.
Yeah.
And but
they ought to be. They ought to be in panic mode.
But they're stuck.
Yeah.
They're stuck because they chose the wrong person to be their vice president.
Yep. That's right.
That's the reason they're stuck. Otherwise, they could have him drop out. and have another one, have the vice president move up in the top position. But Kamala Harris' numbers are worse than Biden's. We'll be back momentarily.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Wesley and Chris and Ray. So we've got four of us here. Fixing to add a fifth. Abraham Hamilton III is with us. Good morning, Brother Abe.
Good morning.
Abe joins us most Wednesdays when, today's Wednesday? Today's Tuesday.
I'm early. It's like the debate.
A day early. So what are you planning for the 4th? Thank you.
Oh, man, I'm going to take a foray into smoking a brisket.
Ah. Oh, really?
Is this
your first time to do
this? This is my first time doing this, yeah.
So tell how this process is going to work.
Oh,
have
man.
You been reading up on it?
I have been. I'm going low and slow.
When are you going to start this now?
I'm going to start it because it's hot, you know, so I'm going to start it early. So it's not
like on the 4th? On Thursday?
Yeah, early in the morning.
But what about prep time?
I'm going to start prepping the day before. Yeah, I'm going to start prepping Wednesday night.
How do you prep for brisket?
Well, I knew if you knew you were going to do it right, I knew you were going to prep.
Well, I'm going to trim it. And so I got getting my secrets out here. You know, I got some meat from the farm. I ordered, and Wesley knows about this. I had a half cow, and the brisket came with it. You know, so I've been having it in my freezer.
You mean you like bought a half a cow?
I did, yeah.
Had it slaughtered and you got
Had it butchered and all of the different cuts of meat and all that other kind of stuff.
You've been saving the brisket?
I've been saving the brisket. That's been all one piece of meat. I'm just like, wait a minute, I got to make sure I approach
this
right.
Us a
first of all, I have to. Yeah, I'll send you the pictures. Okay. And I'm not promising I'm gonna do it right. This is my first time, but my goal is to do it where I'm.
Well, how are you going from a family recipe? Are you reading about this? Watching YouTube videos or what?
Not a family recipe. So I watched Barbecue Pitmasters for years.
Yes.
And so I found a recipe that I like, and I'm gonna trim the brisket, and I'm gonna inject mine and marinate it the night before.
I'm gonna send you a rub. That you get now.
Send it my way.
Now the rub that I've put together.
This is your own recipe.
Well, let me explain real quick. Yeah. The rub that I've got, you can't do it in small. You can't do it in a small amount.
Yeah, large
you have to do it in a large quantity. Yeah. So you may want to keep that in mind as you're doing it. But I'll send it to you. I ate it a couple 3 years ago. The rub on a brisket or on barbecue. I ate that about 3 years ago, from a 4th of July. Get together with some family, and long story short, I came away going, you got to send me that. He's like, at first I was like, you got to tell me what's in that, and it was like 14 different things. Mm-hmm. So he was like, I don't remember it all, but I'll send it to you. So he screenshot it, sent it to me. He wrote it out, so I'm gonna screenshot send it to you.
I love beef brisket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm gonna smoke one for myself.
Okay. Ray, you do that kind of thing?
Kansas
City is known for barbecue.
That, I mean, Abe, you're a lot more ambitious than I am. You know, I'm kind of at the level of burgers you know.
You mean you're on the grill?
Yeah, barbecue, bratwurst. Tim, you ever had bratwurst?
Oh, I love bratwurst.
Oh, man, that's so good. burgers, bratwurst, and this Thursday we got part of our family coming over, and we're going to have what do you call them? A kebabs, you know, steak and chicken kebabs. Yeah, grilled.
Bratwurst, though, I do enjoy the bratwurst. I don't have bratwurst, but about once or twice a year. Now, that's different than the smoked sausage, right?
Yeah, it is. It's
the smoked sausage, I love those things.
Oh, it's good?
On the grill.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the bratwurst, when I eat, I don't eat that like once or twice a year, but I literally feel my arteries clogging up. I mean,
it's so worth
it. It's the worst.
It's so worth it.
It's a physical feeling. And the taste buds go, wow. They're saying, yes, this is wonderful.
Up on July 4th. We got to stand up for America. It's worth get yourself some brats, you know, and grilled onions and
I'm going to do plant-based. Mustard.
You know. Plant-based, get out of here. You are not welcome
Objection.
Here.
Objection. I think that violates our standards and work protocol.
I'm patriotic.
I have a
You think George
pardon.
Washington did plant-based?
No, I eat meat. So. And a lot of, I'm pretty sure pork is going to be my cause
of
death.
We hereby vote you out of this club.
Plant-based. I think I'm just going to lead this show with y'all, and I'm going to go get some food. I skipped breakfast this morning, and I'm very hungry.
We're talking barbecue.
Let Ed know. He might want
real
you to
quick,
pick
this recipe you're talking about for the rub.
Yeah.
Is this yours, or did you make this up, or somebody give this to you? Because what if our listeners want to access it?
It's passed on from one person to the next. I'm sure somebody somewhere created it.
Can Brent put it up on our Facebook page and people can read it?
Oh, yeah. This gentleman, who's Chelsea's cousin's husband, follow there.
Your wife.
My wife's cousin's husband. He wrote it out on a sheet of paper. Now, he got it from his mom. So you just see what I'm saying? I don't know who the original
has that.
Yeah. Nonetheless, I'll send it over to Brent right now.
Well, he put it on our Today's Issues Facebook page and check that out.
It's worth taking. Take your kids to the store, buy these couple items.
Yeah.
And then go home, let them help mix it up, and then.
Okay, Abe.
Yes.
Question for you, and a couple things we wanted to ask you about as a. Attorney who studied the Constitution or a constitutional lawyer. And I want you to, if you can, dumb these things down for us, okay? Explain to me like I'm 7 years old what this presidential immunity ruling was about that came out 6-3 in favor of presidential immunity. What does this mean?
Very simply, presidents in office have absolute immunity for what they deem official acts. So, any actions taken during the time a president is in office that can be connected to his constitutionally directed prerogatives, he enjoys absolute immunity and cannot be prosecuted for. A president may, under certain circumstances, for non-official acts, potentially be prosecuted. That is what they're saying, and they've instructed the lower courts to determine what is and what is not deemed official versus unofficial.
Well, this is being touted by many in the conservative media as an absolute victory for former President Trump, but it doesn't sound like it to me. It sounds like maybe a partial.
Yeah, to say it's an absolute victory would go beyond what the actual case reads.
Yes.
You know, now I know there's people that might want it to be that, but that's not what the case reads. And it
because somebody's
going
to have to determine – with respect to the January 6th case and the documents case in Florida, those are federal cases. Somebody's going to have to decide whether those were
official acts versus unofficial acts.
Right.
So on the one hand, and I think when you read the immunity decision along with the January 6th defendant's decision where the Department of Justice was rebuked for misapplying congressional statutes, I think you'll find that Mr. Trump may be on good ground for himself as it applies to matters concerning January 6th, that does not automatically translate to the documents, you know, because the concern is what he did with documents after he's no longer in office. So if the question is, would this notion of absolute immunity applying to official acts for presidents during their term of office, does that extend to once a president is no longer in office? The very simple and obvious answer is not necessarily. Now, that doesn't alone say that he will be prosecuted for that, because there's going to be some issues as to whether or not Jack Smith.
Let's separate this from former President Trump's particular cases here. Just the idea of presidential immunity is one of it's historic. I mean, it's constitutional, and it's there for a reason. True.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Why? This is not limited to Donald John Trump.
Right.
This is for presidents of the United States.
Right.
Because we, as the United States of America, the citizens who consent to be governed by our government under our Constitution, that we don't want our presidents having to litigate cases in office, hypothetically, because political opponents may not like what they have done. If they're doing something within the ambit and the scope of their constitutional authority, we don't want them having to go to court to litigate a policy disagreement. That would just be counterproductive and be worse for all Americans.
Right. So unless a president is involved in something that is illegal, then he has immunity from lawsuits, because otherwise, if you were able to sue a president on everything, we got 330 million Americans out there, and they
you cripple the federal government.
Right.
And for Justice Sonia Sotomayor to state in her dissent, this is irrationality in black and white.
I'll
to
post
say
the link
that a president could order SEAL Team 6 to go and assassinate his political rivals. Contrary to Mr. Obama's protestation that this is a wise Latina, ma'am, that would be murder.
Yes, that's that simple.
Right.
That would be murder.
Yes.
Right.
Murder
would be advocated.
Is not
right.
an official action.
Right. So that's a ridiculous argument.
It is beyond ridiculous.
Yeah.
And for her to put that in writing is embarrassing.
After having gone to school for a very long time to have
it's
a legal background.
It's embarrassing. I am embarrassed for her to have put that in writing. It just shows how irrational many of these people, including justices apparently, have gotten when you take away the notion, well, when you add to the notion of a president and then you add Trump to it. This
talking
kind
about
of
Joseph Sotomayor.
Yeah, I mean, she put that in her dissent.
She probably can't barbecue either. So,
she's not. I don't want her recipes.
No, I know that's 0-2 right there. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Okay, now there was another Supreme Court decision that was announced last week, right? That I think our listeners need to know about. I know that this isn't. Really exciting stuff oftentimes, but it does have these Supreme Court decisions have a huge impact on our nation. But this was another court case that was a good decision, and that involved, it's called Chevron.
Oh man.
Okay. So
it's exciting to me.
Okay. Okay. So explain to our listeners what our listeners are highly intelligent.
Yes.
So I don't want to insult their intelligence, but talk to them like they're five.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I see on the Hamilton corner, what I try to do is to translate legalese into everyday speech.
There you go.
So in 1984, the U.S. Supreme Court made a decision in a case called Chevron, to where the Supreme Court then said statutes deemed ambiguous by federal agencies would give rise to those agencies interpreting the statute and ultimately defining what the statute means, and courts would be required to adhere to the agency's definition of the law, even if the courts disagree, even if Congress disagrees, that the courts would be required to defer to these agencies.
Oh, my goodness.
That decision from 1984 is what lit the match for what has become the expansive Leviathan administrative state.
Yeah.
Because our Congress, if you've been paying attention, doesn't really pass law. What has occurred, Congress sets up a framework, and then these agencies fill in the blanks to determine what the law is. A recent popular example of this is Obamacare. So Obamacare got passed congressionally, but what a lot of people don't realize that it was passed with a lot of blanks, so to speak, and that the Department of Health and Human Services actually determined what the law was. This is why Little Sisters of the Poor had to sue the Department of Health and Human Services and all of these things. Without Chevron deference, we don't have this massive administrative state that is functioning as a fourth branch of the federal government, unelected, bureaucratically run.
It's the root.
It is literally the root of what is the swamp, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another modern example, if Chevron deference was still in place, Biden's Department of Education is the one that just announced on its own that we're going to define what the Civil Rights Act states, mm-hmm. and now gender identity is going to be protected by the Civil Rights Amendment of 1972. Congress didn't pass any law.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody voted on it.
Right.
Just this administrative agency decide that's what we're going to interpret it as. If Chevron would have still been in place, that would be the law to apply to all our country. With Chevron now being overturned, that has now struck the appropriate balance to where executive agencies cannot dictate law to the American people. Congress alone has that authority, which is a constitutional challenge, which is why the Supreme Court rightly overturned Chevron.
So does that mean then that the Congress is going to be forced to not leave blanks? Pretty much.
If laws are going to change, it has to come through Congress.
Congress.
Okay. I'm for shutting down agencies.
Right.
I am for shutting down agencies immediately.
I have a question. So the Title IX stuff is playing out in court right now. There have been some rulings against Biden. Other cases we're awaiting a decision on, if they've even had arguments yet. I'm not a lawyer, as I've stated many times, and it's probably apparent from my questions. But can somebody now point to this week's or this recent Chevron decision in those Title IX cases?
Absolutely. Okay. And what every lawyer handling that litigation will do right now, they are going to supplement their briefs mm-hmm. with the recent case overturning Chevron, making the argument ever the more strong that this is illegal for a host of reasons, including Congress has never given the authority to these executive agencies to redefine or to amend the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Education Amendments of 1972.
Ray, you understand now what's going on here?
Yeah, sort of.
What was the vote?
No, I mean, I do. I'm not kidding about this. I'm asking you.
Of all that Abe said, brilliantly done, Abe, was that this is the root of the deep swamp. This is where it started. So surely they're going to fight back against this. These agencies are, won't they, Abe? I mean, they're not going to. We've already seen how, the Supreme Court said this, but I went and did this other thing anyway. Won't the deep swamp find a way to fight back on this?
Many will try to fight back, but they're fighting a losing battle because ultimately, and let me be more specific, they're fighting a losing battle if they are seeking to retain the authority to determine the law for the American people. Because that's effectively what has been happening. Congress has not been making law. It's been these agencies.
Yep.
The executive, the Environmental Protection Agency, for example. All of these environmental regulations, all of that's coming out of the EPA. Okay. Well, what the Supreme Court is saying now, well, if that's going to happen, if any changes to regulations are going to occur, they're going to have to come through Congress, and these agencies won't be able to do it on their own like they have been for the last 40 years.
You want to?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask, how does this stack up with now it's done, right? It's all done.
It's done.
So how does that stack up looking in retrospect, in your opinion, with the Supreme Court justices and their voting? Is it consistent? Is it consistent with what you thought they would, how the nine would vote?
Well, at least five. It's consistent with what I expected five to vote in, and that decision was 6-3. And so what we're finding is, and this also probably contributed to Justice Sonia Sotomayor's creed in the immunity case opinion, is that she's recognizing that the tide in our country is changing legally in a more conservative direction because of the Supreme Court. And that's what's happening. There have been some huge cases that have gone in the opposite direction, like Bostick is an outstanding example of that. But by and large, the trajectory of the court is indicating it is a more conservative court than it has been in the last 25 to 40 years.
Yeah. You know, if we're going to go – if America's going to go down the tubes – at least let us vote to go down the tubes.
Yes.
Okay.
For liberty, freedom.
Because I'm being a little bit facetious here, but there's a point here to be made, and Abe's made it, really. And that is, and everybody listening to me knows this, our federal government has become so enormous. I don't know. Do they hire 10 to 20% of the public now?
Work
for the federal government.
A lot of the jobs that have been created under Biden's time in office have been government jobs.
Yeah, but he's put them in as a job employment boost. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
This problem precedes Biden. Mm.
Absolutely.
This goes back decades. Our founding fathers created our Constitution and had envisioned a governmental process that decentralized power because they understood human nature. And giving y'all a little history lesson here, and most everybody knows this. That's why they delegated so much. I say delegated. That's why so much power was given to the states.
States, yep.
And the states give them to the local municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it was designed because the closer people are to the decisions that affect their lives at a city council level, a county commissioner level, a state legislative level, a governor, then those people making the decisions, those people in authority, are more responsive.
That's right.
And they have the best interest of the people at heart. You get something like the federal government, the United States federal government, and they start centralizing everything in Washington, D.C., and this is what's happened, and these agencies, which many of us don't even know, all these three-letter agencies.
Yeah. And this is how they get a lot of the COVID stuff passed.
Yeah.
Was through three.
Yeah, they didn't get it passed.
That's the whole problem.
They dictated it.
They dictated it through guidelines and rules.
And so they get the federal government gets more and more expansive. They hire more and more people. More and more people are dependent on the federal government. Mm-hmm. So Washington, D.C. start, and this is what progressives, this is their doctrine all day, every day. They believe that they know better than everybody else. and so the authority needs to be centralized and relied in Washington, D.C., because they need to tell the rest of America how they're to behave and what they're to do. And you saw with Biden, I'll give you one example here. Could give you multiple with Biden. This is why these liberals got to go, folks. We got to vote them out. Okay, the liberal ideology, the progressive ideology, needs to be voted out.
Yeah.
Okay, wherever it may be found, whether it's found in Republicans or Democrats. All right. So, I'll give you an example of how this works, how insidious this is. Which was in the news, and we talked about it. Okay, there is something called federal government. Title IX. Okay. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong if I make a mistake here. It's rare, but it does happen. Allison points it out when I do make a mistake.
Allison, your wife. Yeah.
Allison, my wife, she points it out rarely. But so we have this money that the Congress has passed to go to, I guess it's Department of Education.
Department of Education, yeah.
So the Department of Education. Okay, the Department of Education just recently said, this is Biden puts the person over the Department of Education. You see how this works? That's a presidential appointee.
Mm-hmm.
But the money to administrate the programs that the Department of Education does comes from the Congress. But then the Congress doesn't seem to have any authority over how that money is spent and the rules and regulations that are attached to it. They just make a big deposit into the Department of Education. I'm giving you one example of this craziness. Into the Department of Education, okay? And then Biden puts the person over the Department of Education, so they got all this money and all this power with nobody to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
Basically, because the Republicans don't have enough people to close down the agency. They've got 50-50. We got 50-50 government in Washington, D.C. But here's how this becomes dangerous and insidious. So what Biden did, he and his administrator there, whoever's in charge of the Department of Education, they said, you know what, we're going to this money is supposed to be distributed to the states, for various reasons, but we want to have a string attached to this.
Yep.
So what we want to do is you need Department of Education, we're going to send out an edict to all the states. We're going to tell the states that if they want this federal government money to continue, they must allow boys to play girls' sports and let boys into girls' showers and let boys into girls' dressing rooms.
Yep.
And they need to acknowledge the transgender people for what they want to be called. Or else we're cutting off the money.
Yep.
And too many states, by the way, have become addicts of federal dollars.
Yeah.
My state included, Mississippi.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do about that. I don't know what the right answer to that is. But many states, well, almost all states get federal money. But, okay, so you see how this works. So you have a – this wasn't passed by Congress. This was an – this is an edict. Is that what you would call it, Abe?
Yes, yes.
Given out by whoever the Lord is over the Department of Education.
That's right.
And so this is how they push their left-wing ideology.
Mm-hmm.
What I meant earlier, 7 minutes ago, before I started this excellent sermon, is that at least if I'm going to have that happen, what I've just said happen with Biden, at least let me vote to say, yes, I want the Congress to tell American states that they must have boys play girls sports, or I'm not going to give them money. I had no decision in that. And the Congress, what are they supposed to do that? All they've done is delegated the money. So I would just say, if President Trump is reelected, I would get somebody like Vivek Ramaswamy and tell him it's time to use a meat cleaver and shut down agencies.
Yeah. Shut them
and
down.
Now, I know it would be a bitter and ugly fight, but it would be worth it to go through there. Now, there is the Heritage Foundation is pretty open about what they're working on. If in fact Trump is elected and Trump himself desires to start cleaning up a lot of this garbage, the deep state, the swamp, whatever you want to call it.
But drain the swamp?
Drain the swamp. It's time. To drain the swamp now.
There's a plan available.
Yeah. So the Chevron case is a go.
The Chevron is a great case because what it says is that courts don't have to abide by the Department of Education dictating how this money has to be spent.
Right. We got to change that. If we're going to save our country, this is a great
decision. It's a great decision for the country.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.